All right, so my name is Fabio Comano. I'm here talking with Russell. And the question or the topic of conversation is the importance of recovery and strategies in recovery post-exercise. So if we think about why many of us exercise, it's because we're looking for some outcome, a goal. And that goal is something that generally happens in the period following the training regimen. So you train, you create the stimulus in your workouts, but then what happens in the immediate post-exercise window is when a lot of that adaptation, that recovery takes place. So it helps you move towards your goal. It also helps your body recover in preparation for the next workout. So when it comes to recovery, you should be putting as much effort into your recovery as you are your training, because I use a simple analogy. You want to train smart, not just train hard, because when you train smart, you're also going to allow yourself the opportunity to optimize that recovery. So it stands to reason that everything that you possibly could do to optimize recovery, you should try to implement. So there's a lot of things we can talk about. We can talk about how to reduce muscle soreness. We can talk about, you know, how to overcome the stress and allow the body to return to homeostasis. But let's start with a very simple process, your nutrition and your hydration. So during exercise, you sweat. And so the question is, why do I sweat? Well, if you look at the laws of physics, the first law of thermodynamics talks about how energy ultimately degrades to heat. When you're sitting at rest, you're not burning many calories, which means you're not generating much heat. But during exercise, you might increase your metabolic rate 10, 15 fold. That means you're generating heat at that rate, 10 to 15 times faster. That heat has to be removed from your body, because if it doesn't, your core temperature will go up and then you're going to have some serious health issues, right? You get the heat illnesses like heat stroke and heat exhaustion. So the body is designed to remove heat. Well, the best way to do it is through sweating, because water is a very good conductor of heat. So bringing water to the surface of the skin and having it evaporate into the environment is a very effective way to remove heat from the body. But it comes at a cost. And water is originating from inside your body, which means you're losing valuable body water. Now, our water is located in two compartments. One is inside of the cell, and two is outside of the cell. And when we start sweating, we originate, or most of the sweat originates from outside the cell. And that could be things like shrinking your blood volume, which is not great, but from a standpoint of recovery, you can easily replenish that. But as the body continues to sweat, we start borrowing fluid from the intracellular, which means from inside the cell. And that's where the problems arise, because post-exercise, when you're looking to build some muscle or to regenerate your glycogen stores, your energy stores, that all happens inside the cell. But if a cell is dehydrated, it's going to prioritize rehydration, the need to rehydrate itself to resume its normal physiological function, rather than saying, hey, I'm going to build you a little bit of muscle protein. So this idea of sweating being a good thing is a complete myth. Sweating is not something you want to do. It does not dictate the quality of a workout. Sweating is something you have to do to remove heat, and it comes at a cost. And so the way I look at it is, the more you sweat, the longer it takes for you to rehydrate your body post-exercise, which means you're missing out on the opportunities to optimally recover. So you need to be aggressive with rehydration rehydration before exercise and maintaining hydration during exercise and rehydrating post-exercise. A simple rule of thumb I give people is this. Do a pre and post-weight. So go to the bathroom before and after your workouts, get a dry weight, and let's say you've lost 3 pounds. That's water that you have to put back in your body. So you can choose to drink water, or you can choose to drink an electrolyte solution like a sports drink. I favor sports drinks because they accelerate rehydration rates. And the idea is to rehydrate as quickly as possible. So if you're going to drink water, the problem is you're going to have to drink a lot more, because you're going to make a lot more urine. So you're going to have to drink up to 50% more water than what you lost. So if you lost 3 pounds, you're going to have to drink the equivalent of 4.5 pounds just to get that fluid back in your body. But if you use a sports drink that has electrolytes, because it's more concentrated than your blood, your body will hold on to the water, which means you're going to make less urine, which means you don't have to drink as much. You may only have to drink to 25% more than what you lost. But the biggest difference is that you rehydrate faster, which now means your body can start doing what? Recovering and re-synthesizing muscle protein or whatever you want. So I would say the priority number one post-exercise is to make sure that you're getting adequate amounts of fluid. a sports type drink, an electrolyte type drink is better than water. That should be priority number one. Now, priority number two is really based on what your goals are. Many of us have goals to build a little bit of muscle protein. So I'd also recommend a fast protein. What I mean by fast protein is something that gets into your body quickly. The fastest protein that Mother Nature makes for us, or that man has provided to us, is a whey isolate. Right? On an empty stomach, a whey isolate from the moment you drink it could be in your bloodstream within about 20 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes. So it is Mother Nature's fastest protein. So the sooner you get those proteins and those amino acids into your blood, the sooner they get into the cell, the sooner you can start building muscle protein. But it's based on one caveat. The cell is hydrated, so you've got to take care of that first. When you talk about protein after exercise, we say, how much should you take? Well, there's a dosing that science studies have shown to be optimal. It's around 0.11 to 0.14 grams per pound. So if you weighed 180 pounds, you would take 180, multiply by 0.11, that'd give you about 20 grams. So your range is going to be somewhere in that 20 to maybe 24 gram range. So everyone weighs different amounts. Just take your body weight, multiply by 0.11 or up to 0.14, and just somewhere in that range would be a suitable amount of protein to take within the first hour post-exercise. The combination of that hydration and that protein are going to set you up for a impressive opportunity to build muscle protein. Now, some people say, what about carbs? Well, if your goal is more endurance training, then absolutely carbs would be important. We talk about a half a gram per pound of body weight, at least in the first hour. Right? Now, can a little bit of carbs help the protein synthesis? Yes, slightly, but not significantly. But definitely, if you are someone who's an endurance athlete, your responsibility is to replenish your glycogen stores. So yes, some carbs would be important. So from a nutritional standpoint, that would be kind of your pecking order. Hydration first. And as soon as you can, while you're taking care of that hydration, you can kill two birds with one stone. You can think about your protein or your carbohydrates based on what your goals are. So that would be probably, you know, a nutritional strategy. Some people say, what else can we do? Well, we know that sometimes some people experience muscle soreness. Muscle soreness is, I wouldn't say inevitable, but it's most likely an inevitable consequence of training. It happens during the eccentric phase of training that you get muscle damage. Now, muscle soreness will delay your ability to return to activity because you've got to allow the muscle an opportunity to heal. So one of the strategies that people suggest is, how can I reduce muscle soreness? Well, how you train can impact muscle soreness. So if you spend a lot of time on the eccentric phase, while it is a good stimulus for muscle growth, you also have to appreciate that it's also the cause of muscle soreness that occurs post-exercise, sometimes like a day or two afterwards. So we want that muscle damage because it is a stimulus for muscle growth, but how do we control it? How do we minimize it? Well, if you're brand new to exercise, I would say control the volume of your training and don't spend as much time in the eccentric phase because that is going to create lots of amounts of muscle soreness. But if you're an experienced lifter, people say, what else can I do? What about massage and myofascial release? Yes, there are definitely some techniques. Anti-inflammatories can help accelerate the healing process, but anti-inflammatories don't work for everyone because some people have some issues with them. Some people say, what about massage? Massage, unfortunately, has not been shown conclusively to accelerate muscle healing. It, in fact, can even cause some muscle damage. If there is muscle is damaged and the massage is too vigorous, it could actually do further damage. Some people say, what about ice packs, cryotherapy, or water immersion? Water immersion, when I say water immersion, cold water immersion is a very effective way to help control muscle soreness. What it does, it delays the inflammatory response, which post-exercise is actually a good thing. We want acute inflammation because that accelerates the healing. So when you do cold, while it controls the pain, it just delays the healing. So it's effective in controlling the pain, but it's not going to necessarily return you to activity faster. So I would say I'm kind of on the fence with that. Some people say, what about the TENS machines and ultrasound? Yes, they stimulate blood flow into the area and they can accelerate healing, but you've got to have access to that. People say, what about other things? Well, one of the most popular things that we're seeing out there is myofascial techniques. So getting on a foam roller and doing some foam rolling, so finding that area of tenderness. So whatever muscle you're targeting, get on the roller, move around until you find that area of where the the pain. It should never be high pain. It should only be like a 6 to 7. It should never be anything more than that. And you say, yep, that's where the tenderness is. And then stay there for about 10 seconds and then start rolling over that area. And if you can, roll in 3 dimensions, so try and get 3-dimensional movement, much like you're ironing a shirt. If you're ironing a shirt, you shouldn't just iron in one direction because it may not get all the creases out. You want to iron in all directions to get the creases out. Well, our myofascia is built 3-dimensionally. So if you can use some technique, whether it's rolling or a ball placed against your chest, and move 3-dimensionally, and also get the underlying muscle moving, either moving the limb, you're going to do what? Shorten the duration of muscle soreness, but also accelerate the healing. So I'm a big fan of myofascial techniques post-exercise. There are other techniques we're seeing coming up right now. People are using vibration. People are using cryo chambers. These are all great techniques, but now you start talking about a cost, right? But probably one of the best things you can do is, apart from nutrition, is to make sure you get your rest. I would say that's probably one of the most undervalued, is people will do what? Get done with the workouts, and then they'll just go back to their lives, not giving a thought to the fact that they're continuing the stress response. Because you have to appreciate this. Stress manifests itself in many different ways. We have good stress like exercise. We have bad stress like our commute and our job and our boss and things of that nature. So while they originate from different sources and we classify some as good and some as bad, the physiological response in the body is essentially very similar. It is an activation of our fight or flight response. And that means the body is not in a rested state. So what you have to really appreciate is the need for recovery involves allowing your body to return to a state of calm. So whatever you can do post-exercise to allow the body every opportunity to return to calm, which means don't do crazy things, get your sleep. These are going to be some of the most critical things you can do in the recovery phase, right? So in the first few hours to the first 24 hours, to help optimize the opportunity for adaptation, but also accelerate the time of recovery so that you can get back in and do another workout. That's the importance of recovery. Right. And so I think we're moving into a time and age right now where people think that, you know, I've just got to train hard and then that's it. The session ends and I just go back to my life. No, we're starting to give as much attention today to recovery as we are to training. And the reason being is because we understand more about the recovery process than we've ever done before. So they go hand in hand. You cannot just think of exercise and not consider the recovery strategies, because, as I said at the beginning, do you want to train hard or do you want to train smart? Because if you train hard, you might not enjoy the optimal adaptations. But if you train smart, and that includes strategies in recovery being smart, then you're going to see the biggest return on your investment. And that's ultimately what we want. We all want to see those goals being achieved. And it comes through good strategies that are implemented during the recovery phase.
Dr. Kamani, that was excellent. Thank you. Can I ask one quick follow-up question?
Yeah, absolutely.
If a person were to hypothetically say work out at night and not do anything, they would just pretty much come home, have one glass of water, and go right to sleep. What dangers, like what things could happen to their body if they're not doing these things that you suggest after their workout?
So in terms of dangers, I would say very little. I don't think there's anything dangerous there. I just think they're losing opportunities for several reasons. Number one, as I said, if you're coming home and you drink a glass of water, that fluid may not be enough. That would be my first concern, which means you've still got dehydrated cells, which means your body's in a state of stress because you haven't replenished its fluid. So remember, even dehydration is stressful to the body. So that would be my first concern. The second concern is post-exercise, your body is looking to build muscle protein. It naturally switches to what we call an anabolic state or a muscle protein synthesis state where the body's saying, I want to build muscle protein. Because you've just broken down muscle protein in the workout. Now it's my opportunity to build. And if you're not feeding it the appropriate nutrition, in other words, the amino acids so that it can elevate insulin and push amino acids into the cell and build, you're missing out on that opportunity as well. So coming home right after workout, having a quick shower, rinse off, and then drinking a glass of water, there in itself are two big concerns, is a lack of appropriate hydration and a lack of appropriate nutrition. But it brings up a third one. Part of falling asleep, when you start to fall asleep, your body goes into what's called stage one sleep. That's that sleep where you might have experienced this, where you kind of have those twitches, like you feel like you're falling sometimes. That's stage one sleep. That means the body's preparing itself to move into stage two sleep. And stage two sleep is marked by a critical event, and that is a lowering of your body temperature, because that then allows your body to transition to the deep sleep, which is stage 3 and stage 4. And stage 3 and stage 4 is where your true rest happens. That's where your human growth hormone levels elevate, and that's where all that repair and all that recovery and all that information you learned today is put into memory. So that's the deep sleep stage. It's that very restful state of sleep. And then we kind of keep cycling through our stages through the night. So if you're worked out and your core temperature is very high, what you're doing is you're delaying the ability to move through stage 2 towards stage 3 because your core temperature is staying elevated. So if you're going to exercise in the late part of the evening and you had a pretty good workout and your core temperature is high because you're sweating and everything, one thing I would suggest you do is not a cold shower, because the problem with the cold shower is the water flows off of you. Water immersion is actually a very good way. So I would say a nice, you know, few minutes immersion in a, not cold, but a cool bath to try and draw that heat out of your body, so your core temperature can return to normal as quickly as possible. That would be a good strategy, because that way when you get into bed, and they say exercise at night can help you fall asleep, but we want to get restful sleep, not just quantity of sleep, but quality of sleep. So you want to get, you're using the exercise to maybe as a stimulus to help you fall asleep, but we got to get your core temperature down, which means immerse yourself in a cool bath rather than a shower, just for a few minutes, just to help your body cool. And that way you notice that, you, like some people say, I take a shower, but I'm still sweating afterwards. That means your body's still generating heat. Mm. You want to get into that cool bath to a point where it would be there for a few minutes that your body would say, we don't need to sweat anymore because you've drawn enough heat out of the body. Then it would be a good idea to go to bed, because that way you wouldn't prevent yourself from getting into deep sleep. That would be kind of my top three suggestions.
Right. Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate this. Thank you so much.
No, you're welcome.
Okay. Have a great day.
Okay.
Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.